mature Christian must use what? Every part of their body to do what is right to the glory of God. More on that later.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Today, the abortion question has ignited such a political firestorm, it seems almost impossible to discuss this controversial issue without appearing to take sides. Nevertheless, in the message being broadcast this evening, Pastor Brian Grant will take us to the scriptures as he develops four facts about true reproductive freedom that must guide the conduct of believers in this permissive world. Here now is Pastor Grant with the first part of Discovering True Reproductive Freedom.
It was 1770, and Maria was pregnant again. She had lost her first child when he was only 6 days old and would eventually lose four babies during infancy. Maria had tuberculosis, and her husband, Johann, had a very bad case of syphilis. So she knew the chances of the baby surviving and having a normal life were very, very slim. But despite the odds, Maria did not try to terminate the pregnancy. And so on December the 17th, 1770, the musical genius Ludwig Beethoven was born. Abortions are very common in America today. The Guttmacher Institute states that in 2020, almost 1 million babies were aborted in the United States. That's 20.6% of all pregnancies. In other words, more than one in every five pregnancies end in an abortion. But despite its popularity, abortion is one of the most politically divisive subjects in America. And today I'm going to be speaking about reproductive freedom, but I have no intention of taking either of the political sides. Because to be frank with you, I find both political sides rather hypocritical. I find the right, I'm puzzled that some folks on the right who are against abortion, I find it interesting that they encourage a teenager to go through with her baby and deliver the baby. But I find that very often when that teenager has delivered a baby and has no resources, they're very unwilling to vote in favor of the government lending a helping hand. But on the other hand, I find that some on the left who are pro-abortion, I find it interesting that they claim to be those who are the vanguards of freedom. We are for freedom. But yet, if anyone disagrees with abortion, they will do everything they can to suppress the free speech of those who don't share their opinion. There is hypocrisy on both sides. In fact, since the recent reversal of the Roe versus Wade decision, some have been sending out emails warning preachers and churches that they're coming for us. I know this is going to be, no matter what I say, you have your political opinion, but this morning, this is not a political message. And so I'm going to ask you that regardless of your political position, that you turn your political position off for 35 minutes as we discuss this topic discovering true reproductive freedom. You're going to see I'm not giving a political message, I'm giving a Bible message, and it's going to take you places that perhaps you didn't think I'd be going this morning as we discuss the subject of discovering true reproductive freedom. Because reproductive freedom is the buzzword today, but what God has in mind, here's the part that you may be surprised. God is interested in every person discovering reproductive freedom. Did you know that God is not against reproductive freedom? But God is interested in true reproductive freedom. So stay with me this morning. Shut off the politics for 35 minutes. I won't be much more than that. And let's find out what God has to say. You know, this message is the fourth message in a series we've been doing by God's help, entitled Answers to Some of Today's Toughest Questions. And if you missed the first three parts of the series, I encourage you to go to our YouTube channel and watch them, because these are questions, we're answering some questions that are tough questions of today. Now, let me start. Where are we going to start? Let me start by sharing a key principle for us to live by. And I'm going to put the verse, a verse on the screen in the New Living Translation. And here's how it reads in Romans chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. The Word of God says there, "Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin." Say that with me. Do not what? Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, what? Give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have a new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right, what? For the glory of God. Any matter a Christian responds to, before you take any side, make sure the side you are taking is going to allow you to use your entire body for the glory of God. Amen? So let's start taking some notes. Write this in your notes if you don't mind. We must use every part of our body to do what is right for the glory of God. Amen? Amen? We must use every part of our body. Men, it applies to you. This is not just a message that's going to apply to females, in case you don't think I'm only talking to women. You'll find out I'm not. The Spirit of God is talking to all of us, and He's saying every person, every Christian must use what? Every part of their body to do what is right to the glory of God. More on that later. You know, this is not easy to pull off. For Romans chapter 6, verse 17, which was read earlier, makes it clear that we were all born slaves to sin. We were all born slaves to sin. As a result, I've discovered that I don't have to try hard to sin. Has anyone else discovered that? We don't have to try hard to sin. Sin comes naturally. And so because of that, because God knows that even after you're saved, you still have a sin nature, verse 12 challenges us, do not let sin control the way you live. If we're going to use every part of our body to do what is right for the glory of God, we cannot do what comes naturally. Oh, I hear people, I just do what comes naturally. You better stop doing what comes naturally, because the stuff that comes naturally is sin. Put this in your notes. We cannot cling to God and cling to the world's way at the same time. This is one of the problems Christians are having today. We are so political. America, everything is all about politics. And sadly, Christians are clinging to the world's way. You better believe it's right here at GCA. Some of us are more political than we are biblical. We're clinging to something that our party says. But as a believer in Jesus Christ, I am under authority. I am being told I must cling what? To God. And not cling to the world's ways. So let's get rolling. Let me share with you today four important facts about true reproductive freedom. Remember, we're not just talking about reproductive freedom. We're talking about what? That word is important to that word, true. True reproductive freedom. It's interesting how God sometimes sets messages up. Sometimes he gives you the title, and because of the title, he leads you how he wants you to go. We're talking about true reproductive freedom. Listen, put this in the notes. True reproductive freedom will not produce guilt. Freedom and guilt are not friends. True reproductive freedom will not produce guilt. When you do something and feel guilty afterwards, it's usually a sign that you did something wrong. One of the recurring things I discovered in my research on abortion is that many women who had abortions struggle with guilt. In fact, in a 2018 article in the National Journal of Medicine, they reported that abortion is consistently, I'm using their word, is consistently associated with elevated rates of mental illness. They're telling us that individuals who there is a high percentage of mental illness that's triggered because of abortion. But what was particularly surprising to me as I did the research is that it shows that even women who are strongly pro-abortion often struggle with guilt. You would not expect that. You would think that that person who is such an advocate of abortion, for abortion, for sure if they had an abortion, it would not bother their conscience. But that's not so at all. The research shows that even women who are strongly pro-abortion often suffer from guilt. In fact, one of my very close friends aborted her baby years ago. And more than 20 years after the abortion, she said to me, "Listen, although I am pro-abortion and I'm still pro-abortion, I must admit that I struggle with the guilt of aborting my baby almost every day." My friend, abortion does not lead to true reproductive freedom. For if that was the case, so many women would not be plagued by guilt. But here's the second thing I want you to write in your notes. True reproductive freedom will not destroy the rights of others. True reproductive freedom will not destroy the rights of others. Words matter. No wonder the evil one, the enemy of our souls, no wonder he has popularized the word, what word do you think? It begins with an F, the word fetus. You know, as a teenager, I'll be honest, I can't recall ever hearing a mom calling the baby in her womb a fetus. I don't know about you. Those of you who are my age are older. How many of you remember people talking about fetuses back when we were kids? But what we're finding is now that the word fetus has been popularized, abortions have exploded, for we have lost the sense that what is being carried is a real human being created in the image of God. So let's answer the million-dollar question. Is a pregnant mom carrying a fetus or a living human being. You know, physicians regard a person as being alive if there is either a detectable heartbeat or brainwave activity. I don't know if you know that if you had a car accident and it seems like you're finished, once they can detect a heartbeat or brainwave activity, it is regarded that you are alive. And did you know that with the equipment available today, doctors can detect a baby's heartbeat as early as 18 days? Did you know that today they can detect brainwave activity after 42 days? So in just 18 days, what medical science has defined as a sign that life exists, which is a heartbeat? In 18 days, physicians can determine a baby is alive. What this is telling us, that almost 100% of the abortions that are done today are done after we know that life exists. Now, I know you're going to go into all of the issues. What if there is... I'm not even talking about... My issue is not telling you what should or should not be. I just want to tell you, God is after true reproductive freedom. And I'm simply saying it does not seem that abortion is the path to true reproductive freedom. Number one, because there's guilt. But number two, because it seems to me we are destroying the rights of somebody else. Let me try to explore the question a little further. Is a mom carrying a fetus or a living human? Let's assume, can I use a hypothetical illustration? Diane Jones was 6 months pregnant with a fetus who had medical challenges. Joan James was also 6 months pregnant with a fetus who was perfectly healthy. They were both admitted to Hope Hospital. Joan James went to the fourth floor where abortions are done, while Diane Jones went to the sixth floor where life-saving surgery was done on babies. Early that afternoon, Joan James, her fetus was removed by surgical abortion. During the process, the fetus's skull had to be crushed. Oh, you don't realize that at a certain point, it just doesn't go like that. They have to literally crush the skull to ease the extraction. The fetus's skull was crushed to ease removal, and a sharp tool was used to scrape out the remaining tissue from the uterus. Later that afternoon, the surgeons successfully delivered Diane Jones's precious baby girl. Two ladies entered the same hospital, both 6 months pregnant, on different floors. The healthy fetus was terminated, but the baby with medical problems was delivered alive and went on to thrive. Here's the question. Was the fetus that Joan James terminated also a living baby? You don't have to be a rocket scientist, for the answer is obvious. Both ladies were carrying babies who were alive. And get this, babies who were made in the image of God. So young people, don't let Satan fool you into believing a baby is a fetus. For every baby is a human being made in the image of God. And that's why a mom will grieve after a miscarriage. Have you noticed how moms sometimes grieve. Some moms will actually every year they have an anniversary for the loss of that child, because that mom recognizes she was carrying what? A living baby. It hurts. They felt the baby moving. They knew the baby was alive. Don't allow the devil to trick you into believing it's okay. Because listen, if you want to go ahead and do it, don't pretend that it was not a living human being, because it clearly was. What does the Bible have to say? Let's go to Psalm 139, if you don't mind. Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verse 13 to 16. And David, as he talks to God about when he was in his mom's womb, he said, "You formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb." He was fully alive. "I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret." God, you saw me even when I was here in my mom's womb. My frame was not hidden from you. And you skillfully wrought me in the lowest parts of the earth. You are putting everything together in an incredibly skillful way. Amen. "Your eyes saw my substance yet being unformed. I wasn't even delivered yet." Listen, even before. "And in your book there were all written the days fashioned for me, when as yet there was none of them." God saw him. God knew him. He had not entered the world, but he was very much alive. Amen. Exodus chapter 21. Exodus chapter 21, verse 22 to 25. Exodus 21, verse 22. "If men fight and hurt a woman with child so that she gives birth prematurely, yet no harm follows." I'm reading from Exodus 21. I'm in verse 22. "He shall surely be punished according as the woman's husband imposes on him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. If there's no harm to anybody, there's still going to be a fine. But if any harm follows, if anybody's harmed, you shall give what? Life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, stripe for stripe." The baby in the womb is a living being. My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, "Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved?" You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this: "Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen." And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that, and mean it, God will hear you, and he will answer your prayer, and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550, or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.